we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good morning to you, Brevard County. Here we are, September the 10th. I'm so excited about this week. If it's okay with you, is it okay if I get excited? Later on this week, I'll be at a conference. My wife is going to get to go with me. And so we're going to get to have a couple of days that we're going to be able to decompress a little bit. And so is it okay if I go woo woo? I'm a little excited about the opportunities that I have. God's been doing something in my heart and my life, and I'm hopefully going to be able to work on a project a little bit while I'm away, and you'll hear more about that at a later time. But quite excited about that, and we're excited to be here on the radio today. We want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. They are based here in Rockledge, Florida. They go all throughout Brevard County. If you do a search on them, do Rockledge Air Conditioning Companies or Brevard Air Conditioning Companies, go down to the W's, you'll find them listed there. They've been here for decades and decades, doing great, great work throughout the community. And hopefully they will be able to be a blessing to you as well. Everything that I have heard from commercial people who work in business environments, people who work in, who have home AC units and things like that, everything that I have heard is that lots of ACs have needed maintenance this year. And so if you do not have a repairman that you can trust, give them a call, 321-632-9538, Wyrick Air in Rockledge, Florida, and they will come out, get you fixed up and up and running. They also do electrical work and are very, very good at what they do. They will be a blessing to you, treat you fairly and honestly. And if you want them to tell you about Jesus, they'll do that too. So give them a call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. So we are going to go to Matthew chapter 6 today. We started this on Friday, and today we are going to talk about Jesus raising our understanding about prayer. Now, I want you to understand something, that when we talked on Friday, that there was two phrases that we mentioned, and that was, and when you do, but when you do, your acts of compassion or your charitable deeds, as the King James Version calls it, or alms, like the King James Version. Basically, it's when you are ministering simply because you want to show someone the love of Jesus Christ. That word was when you do it. It's not an if you do it. And then where we're going to pick up today in verse number 5, we're going to see it begins the same way. And when you pray. And then again in verse number 7, and it says, and when you pray. So as we get into this today, I want you to see that prayer is not optional. It is something that Jesus expects from us. So we're going to be going through this. It's going to take us a while to get through prayer. Prayer is a very misunderstood concept. It really is talking to God and God talking to you. And I don't care what Joy Behar says, it is very normal for God to speak to his people. It is not a sign of mental illness. It is not a sign of instability. It is a perfectly normal behavior. It is something that Jesus said, the words that I speak are the words that I hear my Father say. It is something that should be taking place in a person's life. We should be praying. And it shouldn't be a monologue. A monologue is what I'm doing on this program right now. It is me talking, but there is no opportunity really for feedback. The only opportunity I have for feedback is having a one-on-one conversation with you, or you leaving a voicemail on the answering machine, or you sending me an email or a letter. You know, thankfully, after nearly 5 years of doing this program, we've not had much in the way of, you know, correcting or criticizing communications. I like to stay very true to the Word of God. But the only way we have of getting it past a monologue is through those other means. We don't have live phone calls coming in or anything like that. I'm not set up for that technologically here in the studio and all of that sort of stuff. So this is a monologue. This is not the way that prayer is supposed to be. Prayer is not just us, you know, opening up and letting words gush out as fast as we can gush them out. And as soon as we're done speaking, okay, God, that's all for today. Thank you very much. And hanging up the phone and walking away. That's not the way it is supposed to be. So Jesus is going to give us some instructions. And I can't really tell you how long we're going to be talking about this. But prayer is an expected discipline. It is an expected privilege that has been bestowed upon the body of Christ that we need to avail ourselves of. And we need to be the best prayers that we can be. So let me begin reading at verse number 5. And when you pray, this is Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like hypocrites. You shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So here again, we're going to see that if we will pray the way that that the Father wants us to pray, we are going to see a reward that the Father bestows upon us. That is, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. In other words, there's not a communication that we're going to have with God that is going to be misplaced. It's not going to be lost in translation. I saw something in the news here several weeks ago about something that they thought was lost, and all of a sudden it was found. Something that it was like an automobile, and they thought it had been destroyed, and they actually found it in pretty rough shape, but they found it. I want you to know that God keeps your prayers in pristine condition. He's not ignored them. God has a tremendous interpretive process. I can't tell you how many people have said, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. And it's not complicated. God knows what you have need of before you even ask. And so whenever we do our best to communicate to him, then as a result of that, he hears and he answers. It's a tremendous process. Talking with God is never going to be wasted time. So let's see how the people were doing it that society looked up to, And then we're going to look at it and see the way that Jesus said it should be done. Okay? He said, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Now, I want to tell you that Jesus, just here in this passage, said that there were hypocrites who were praying. Okay? That's, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Jesus said that there was behavior that hypocrites were participating in, and you weren't supposed to abandon the behavior just because a hypocrite was adopting that behavior. Okay? You're not supposed to give up praying simply because there were some hypocrites praying. So let me just say this to people who are out there who have seen broken and fallen individuals in a church, and you know, you have been convinced, well, I'm not going to church because there are hypocrites in the church. Don't give up godly behavior simply because there are some hypocrites that are abusing the practice. You don't give up on the body of Christ simply because there are some people in it who have not come to the full realization and embraced the reality of the lifestyle that God wants them to lead. You know, listen, the church is not, unfortunately, the church is not exempt from hypocrites, but it is not an exclusive of the church for there to be hypocrites. There is so much hypocritical behavior that goes on in people's lives that, you know, you would have to give up breathing. Hypocrites breathe. You know what? They inhale, they exhale. And so if you'd say, well, I'm not going to do something because a hypocrite's doing it, you would have to give up on breathing. You would have to give up on life. That's not a viable option. Giving up on church is not a viable option. There are hypocrites in the news media. There are hypocrites in politics. There are hypocrites everywhere you go. I've known people that wanted to just open up and boom, let the words fly. And let the dust settle where it may, and you know what? They were okay with that, but they couldn't handle anybody even coming up to them and possibly giving a look of disapproval into their life. That's hypocritical behavior. Hypocrites are everywhere. And Jesus said, even hypocrites pray. And when they prayed, they stood in the synagogue, they stood on the corner of the streets, and they lifted their voice, and everything that they did, the words that they spoke, the place that they were at, the manner in which they conducted themselves, everything was orchestrated for one purpose, and it wasn't to be heard by God, it was to be seen by men. And so just like we talked about on Friday's broadcast, where people were doing their acts of compassion to be seen by men, these people are praying, and again, the purpose was not to be heard by God. The purpose was to be seen by men. The ultimate goal of prayer should be to be heard by God. That's the primary purpose. It's God. Yours is the throne of grace. I'm coming before the throne of grace to find help in my time of need. And so it is not about whether or not you are eloquent. A person told me that out of all of the sermons that they had heard, and they had heard a lot of sermons, they only remembered one sermon that they had ever heard in their life, and it was a one-sentence sermon that quoted scripture and he quoted the scripture at the beginning. It was one verse. He quoted it to the very end, and he said, amen, and he sat down. It is not in the multitude of words. It's not to be seen by men. It's to be heard by God. And so it's not that you give up praying because hypocrites are praying. It is you do not do it the same way. You do not do it with the same motives that the hypocrites were doing. He said, assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Publicity, visibility, fame with men. You know, don't you wish you were as good as I am? They have their reward. And that reward is fleeting. Let me tell you, if you live for the accolades of men, you will find that their praise is extremely fleeting. And just as soon as you fall out of line, they will not only retract their praise, but they will denounce you entirely. I read an article recently about a person who was considered by many to be a real life living hero, but there was some things that he said that this particular author didn't like about what this guy had said. There were some things in his past that wasn't liked, and he completely trashed the guy. And I'm telling you, if you live for the fame of men, you will find that it is very fleeting because people are extremely fickle. But if you live for the praise of God, if you want to pray for His glory, if you want to pray to be heard by Him, He is constant, never changing. For the sake of His name, He forgives our sins. For the sake of His name, He never leaves us and never forsakes us. It is a tremendous thing when you are in communication with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So they have their way of doing it. Jesus said, but you, when you pray, okay? And so there's actually a fifth one there. I hadn't highlighted that one. I had overlooked that one. So there's a fifth, and when you pray, and this is the third time that we see, and when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So he said, this is not about whether or not you're going to be seen by men. Daniel had a reputation that they knew that he conducted himself in such a life of integrity, and that prayer was such an important part of his life as he prayed for Jerusalem. They knew where he would be. He wasn't doing it in the public square. He went into his place. He opened up his windows. They knew right where he was going to be. They knew what he was going to be doing. And they convicted him of treasonous behavior because they knew how much Daniel valued prayer. Not because he was making a spectacle out of it. But they knew what he was doing in secret. Can I challenge you to do something? I've got a couple of people that I know of, probably a handful of people. And when they are at work or in their family, everybody knows that they are focused and intentional with their prayer. And when people have needs, these people find these people on the job, in the emergency room, they find them in the neighborhood, they find them with texts and emails, and they know, hey, these people, are praying the way that God wants them to pray. And when they pray, it's not public. We have public prayer. We have public prayer for our needs at church, but it is not to impress people with our eloquence, with the fancy and sophisticated words of the theologically educated. It's not that at all. It's just getting in touch with God. And he says, and when you pray in secret, your heavenly Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. There's going to be a reward for praying. So I want to tie that in with what we talked about on Friday. And your Father will reward you openly. It's going to be something that takes place. So when you pray and you touch the Father's heart, you understand there's going to be a divine reaction to your prayer. That's really good. I want to focus on something that's kind of in the middle of that verse, of verse number 6, I believe it is. It says, and your Father who sees in secret. I want to get this week started off by saying he not only sees you when you pray, he hears you when you pray, but he also hears you when nobody else is listening. And he sees you when nobody else can see what's going on. And there's either a reward or a consequence to what is taking place in secret. There may be no eyewitnesses. There may be no paper trail. There may be no data trail. There may not be anything like that. But there's a God who is omnipresent. And so let's make sure that we're not pointing the finger of hypocrisy at other people while publicly we are different than we are secretly. We need to make sure that there's integrity there because God is there. Amen. And when you pray, there's the fifth time, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. I don't know if you ever got in trouble when you were in school by your teacher, and your teacher sent you home and said, write this out 100 times. Or, you know, I remember if I got a math problem wrong, I would have to go and write it out, you know, 100 times or 200 times. And there are many people who think, well, if I just pray, you know, for a quantity, if I just say the right words, I want you to understand it is not in the sequencing of your words. It is about the person you are communicating with being God the Father. And many people think that if they say the same things over and over and over again, that they're going to get a divine response. And that's not what goes on. God says, I know what you have need of before you even ask. You know, I want you to take a picture just a moment. And what would it be like if I went home and I said, honey, I'd like tacos for dinner. Tacos are still on my diet. I'd like tacos for dinner. And 5 minutes later, honey, I'd like tacos for dinner. 5 minutes later, honey, I'd like tacos for dinner. And I just said over and over and over, every minute, every 2 minutes, every 3 minutes, every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes. And for an hour, honey, I want tacos for dinner. Do you think that there would be a response that my wife would give me if I hounded her and harassed her like that over and over and over again? And all I said was, honey, I want tacos for dinner. My favorite food, by the way, tacos. I can tell you with no uncertainty, she would say, I heard you the first time. I heard you the second time. I heard you the 12th time. I heard you the 50th time. I heard you the 100th time. You're not gaining any favor just by repeating the same words over again. And God says, I don't want you just repeating a sequencing of words. In the book of Acts, there were seven sons of Sceva. And they had sat under the ministry of Paul, and they had watched Paul cast out demons out of a person. And so they thought that they would go out and do it. And so they went out and they found a demon-possessed person. By the way, I'll say this. If demons were possessing people then, they're probably possessing people now. And you and I need to be walking in spiritual authority, because we're not to be intimidated by the demons. The demons are supposed to be intimidated by the Christ living inside of us. But that's another topic for another day. And so they went out and they said this. They spoke to the demon and they said, let me turn over there. They basically just said a bunch of words and said, by Christ whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out of this guy. And the demon said, Christ I know, and Paul I know, and who are you? And they were beaten, humiliated, and stripped, and ran out of the place absolutely embarrassed and naked. They didn't have the result at all they thought they were going to have, just because they repeated the words they had heard Paul say. You and I, we've got to have a living, vibrant relationship with God so that, let's see, they were... The Acts chapter 19, verse 13, and some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exhort you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the evil spirit said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And then they went out there. You see, even the devil's not intimidated by vain repetition of words. But he can't resist spiritual authority from people who know their God, from people who have a message from God, people who have a commission from God to go out and deliver and heal and raise up people. And it's not because of the vain repetition of words. It is because they know God and will do great exploits. You're not heard because of your many words. You're not heard because of your hours of prayer. You're heard because your Heavenly Father loves you. He cares for you, and He wants to hear from you. Right now, God knows what you have need of. Call upon Him and let Him reward you openly. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an